This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome in to a special edition of the Abe TL Show. No, it is not a weekend, but it is a holiday today, President's Day. And so you're going to get me here today. I apologize already, in place of the legendary Dukes and Bell for the next 4 hours from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. And we got a lot to cover. We have to talk about the NBA All-Star Game. I once again stand alone, and I'm just trying to figure out why that is. I'm not trying to be a devil's advocate or a contrarian. It's just my nature. And you know, I was all by myself heading into All-Star Weekend, and it appears I remain all by myself. I'll tell you what I mean by that in a little bit. But we got 4 hours to discuss it. We'll get into the NBA All-Star Game. We're also going to talk plenty about the Atlanta Falcons and the offseason that we are approaching. And look, we've talked a little bit about Kirk Cousins and his future. We spent an hour plus on this yesterday. I don't think we need to just have the same discussion every single day, right? I don't know if it's fresh and innovative and creative if I sit here and just say, do you want the Falcons to cut Kirk Cousins, or are you comfortable with they keep him? Like we're not advancing anything. There's not going to be new parts of this story, at least until that mid-March deadline. And maybe there are some new stories before that. But if we're going to be honest, that's not my cup of tea to just do the exact same discussion every single day. So we're going to mix it up a little bit. Now, I do have some thoughts on Kirk Cousins that we're going to get to in about 35 minutes at 2:40. But we're also going to talk some other aspects of the Atlanta Falcons offseason, because as much as Kirk Cousins is this hot and fiery talking point, where does it really rank in terms of what matters this offseason? It's kind of down there. Like, if we're going to be honest, it's kind of down there. You got a lot of decisions in unrestricted and restricted free agents you got to make. You certainly got the NFL draft pick that you have at number 15, and that's where we're going to focus today. And in the 3 o'clock hour, I'm going to be taking some calls. You're going to have a big opportunity to get in and discuss the first-round draft pick for the Atlanta Falcons. We got a couple of guests that are going to be sprinkled in throughout the show today as well. I mentioned yesterday, when I was hosting a little bit, that for some people, it's a cram session in regards to college basketball. Well, I'm going to let you skip about 2 or 3 steps of that cram session when Matt McCall joins me at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Of course, Matt, former college coach, now an analyst for NBC Sports, the Field of 68, and Sirius XM. So we're going to catch you up on what you might have missed, what you need to know heading into the last month of the regular season, and then, month and change, and then going on from there. So Matt McCall is going to join me at 3 o'clock. Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game Hawks reporter and insider, is going to join me at 4 o'clock. And at 5:20, the one and only Grant McCauley is going to stop by. Of course, Grant is host of From the Diamond and our 92.9 The Game Atlanta Braves insider. So a big show coming your way. Lots of different topics to get to. And I want to start here real quick before we slide into Falcons mode. The Daytona 500 was yesterday. And I get that I'm not the biggest NASCAR fan in the world, but I watch it quite a bit from time to time. I thought last night was a big miss for Daytona. And obviously you have to deal with the weather delay. You can't really control that. And a lot of people tune in to NASCAR for the crashes. And I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But I have a problem, ultimately, with how things ended up last night. Because at no point during the race did I sit there and say, man, William Byron feels like a contender. Man, William Byron feels like the best driver out there today, has the best crew, has the best car. And it's a general problem in NASCAR, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. But at no point did I feel that William Byron was deserving of winning the Daytona 500. But he avoids the crash on the final lap. They don't go to yellow. And so he ends up beating everyone to the line. And so William Byron wins his second straight Daytona 500. And I think it's a tough look for the sport to defend the idea of, at no point did anyone think this guy was the best driver or had the best car on the day. Now, you could sit here and tell me that's part of it, that part of winning and part of being a good driver is avoiding crashes. I understand that. But I just think ultimately there's way too much an aspect of luck in deciding this race. And it's the Daytona 500. And it's just a letdown. I'm not saying it happens every year, although the crashes towards the end of this race kind of do happen every year. I'm not saying you need to change anything. I'm not saying it's avoidable. I'm saying as a fan that pops in and is trying to fall in love with the sport more than I already am, it's a tough sell. That's all. Hey, you can call me an idiot for not understanding the finer points of racing. I don't think this is a finer point of racing, by the way. Like, I don't think this is the tactics of the team and when to get new tires, how many tires to get, when to come in and pit, and how much fuel to take. All that stuff, I understand, goes into it. But, man, it is just a massive, massive bunch of luck that William Byron avoided crashes three separate times in the last 10 laps or however many it was. But he is a two-time Daytona 500 winner, back-to-back Daytona champ. Congratulations to him. But for me, it's a tough sport. It's a tough day for that sport. By the way, coming up in a couple of hours, I have some thoughts on the Daytona 500's future. We'll get to that in a little bit. I think ultimately this race, and maybe this is blasphemy too, and you could sit here and say, Abe, you're barely a fan. How could you ever suggest this? I'll give you the details in a couple of segments. I think ultimately the Daytona 500 has to move to President's Day Monday. I'll tell you why when we get there, but we're not there yet. Again, we're going to talk about Kirk Cousins quite a bit today, but probably not in the manner that you're accustomed to hearing here on 92.9 The Game. This offseason for the Atlanta Falcons is about so much more than Kirk Cousins. The draft and the free agency, it's going to mean so much more to this team than what the future of Kirk Cousins is. I mean, when you really break it down, how much does the cousin decision really impact the team? Yeah, there's a money aspect that impacts the team, but large scale, if we're being realistic, that we're spending so much time and discussion on whether or not we should keep a backup quarterback. Like that's the impact on the team. And again, the money is nice, and it can help out a little bit. But there's so much more about this offseason that's going to impact the team in 2025 than whether or not Kirk Cousins is here. I get it's the emotional discussion. Are you guys really still angry at him? Like we talked a little bit about this yesterday. Are we really still angry at Kirk Cousins? And I know Chris Thomas is coming up after me at 6 p.m., and he's going to let you have your fill of emotional discussions. But, like, the question he's asking is, could you stomach Kirk Cousins as your backup? Like, that is that really where you still are? I understand if that's where you were in the immediacy. But, and I know us as Atlanta sports fans, and I don't understand it. I've never been one of these people who can't move on. But the idea of, like, still being hot and bothered and fiery and frustrated and angry at Kirk Cousins to the point where you can't even imagine him still being on the roster. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, it's not that big a deal. And I just refuse to believe that the team can't move forward with him as a backup quarterback. I'm not saying they will. I'm not even saying they should. But the premise of, like, how could he ever step back into that locker room? Like, nah, man. Like, I get that's how we felt in the immediacy. But that's not it. But I'm also not on the other side of this where, like, punish him. Like, if it's right for the team, it's right for the team. I don't think keeping him on the roster and I don't think you're doing that if you do that is a form of punishment. So I don't know. Some of these discussions really don't make sense. And this whole he can't step back into the locker room thing, I just don't buy it. I really don't. And the further we get away from people being angry and frustrated and fired up about the comments, the more I think it's going to be accepted. And again, I don't know if that's the plan, but as a potential plan, the more it's going to be accepted. We're going to continue talking about Kirk Cousins at the end of this hour because a lot of thought is that Kirk wants to get released by the Atlanta Falcons and can choose his next employer. Are you sure that teams are interested in Kirk Cousins? We'll dive into that in a little bit. But coming up next, the NBA All-Star Game was last night, and there's been a lot of criticisms, and I'm trying to figure out why. We'll talk about that next. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here coming to you live in the Kia Studios. My man Eric Slaughter hanging out with me for the next 3 hours and change right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here hanging out with you till 6 o'clock tonight. I guess it's unavoidable. People just want to talk about Kirk Cousins. Nothing's changing. Conversation's the same as it was, but people are still hot and bothered by it. If you want to get in, chat about Kirk and the future with the team, 404-726-0929. I got some other things we're going to talk about as well, including a different discussion about Kirk Cousins and part of the reason why I think trading him is going to be a lot more difficult than others might think. But if you want to chat about Kirk Cousins, 404-726-0929. I made it very clear yesterday. I have absolutely no problem with him returning to the Atlanta Falcons as a backup quarterback. I don't worry about the locker room or the culture or any of that stuff. I'm not really concerned with the comments that he made. I've made it very clear. I think that was something, a plan designed by his agent to try and force the Falcons' hands. And just not falling for it, if I'm going to be completely honest. And so I don't have a problem with him coming back. I think it would be huge for Michael Penix to have Cousins pop over his shoulder after each offensive drive and share some thoughts. And so this whole petty or punish him or get him out of here, like that's just not it. I just don't think that's it. Now, if you could find a trade and get some value back, I'm all for it, especially because that could come with some cap relief. But I'm just not sold. And look, if you want to cut him for the cap relief, I can understand that too. But I'm not sold on the there's no way he can come back to this team. That's just not the conversation, in my opinion. 404-726-0929. Before we talk about the NBA All-Star Game, we got Kevin, who is in Buckhead on line one. What is going on, Kevin? Kevin, you still there?
Kirk Cousins thing. Listen, we got to take the emotion out of it, man. In anything in life, when you're making decisions, if you do it in an emotional way, you're going to lose. So, you know, Terry Fontenot, I think, understands because he's already said it, but he's a calm-mannered guy. And he said what we are coming to the realization of right now. Kirk Cousins needs to be our backup, okay? And see, check me out on this. See, if his agent has already came out and tried all this rigmarole and talk about the Falcons to get the Falcons in trouble, I wanted to induce them to release him. Don't give him what he wants. Say, Kirk, you will be a backup. Why did his agent do that? Because he wants to go and get a starting position on these teams that don't have a quarterback, like Pittsburgh or the Jets or the Raiders. He wants to go vie for that and pick the team that he wants to go to. So what you do is you tell that player, because you have him under contract, listen, you're going to be our backup, $10 million backup, because after March the 10th is a $10 million roster exception that you got to pay him. Tell him he'd be our backup quarterback. We've already paid you, $160, $70 million with another $10 million, right? And that way, he has to make the decision to release his trade clause and allow the Falcons to trade him to get something in as compensation for him. Right now, he holds all the cards. So Terry Fontenot needs to understand what Kirk Cousins wants and use that as a bargaining chip to get Kirk Cousins to allow them to trade him and get something for him. Otherwise, he's going to be our backup. And we could tell from last year, he did not like standing over there on those sidelines while a rookie is taking his job. And so his pride is in the way. We've already seen that the way he's been treating the Falcons. So use it against him. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you for listening to me.
I appreciate the call, Kevin. A couple things I want to touch on that Kevin said. Right there at the end, he said he noticed body language or something. He said he did not like standing on the sidelines while Penix took his job. Here's the thing about that, though. He was still helping Penix. Like Michael Penix has come out multiple times and said it was incredibly helpful for Kirk Cousins to be there and talk with him and work through stuff. And so whether or not he liked it, I can't speak to. But he was doing the job that you would hope a veteran quarterback would do, and that is help out the younger guy as much as possible. He's going to do the job if he's the backup here. And the other thing is, and look, I think what Kirk Cousins said was a ruse put on by his agent. I think the plan was to enrage management, leadership, and the fan base to where they had to cut him. Here's the problem. They weathered that. If they were going to cut him because of anger and emotion, they would have done it immediately. They're past that. They survived the trick. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to cut him. They still might take a look at it from a business perspective, from the money side of things, from all of the different angles, and say, we still think it's in our best interest to part ways. That might still be the plan. But cutting him because of some sort of emotional belief, that's out the window. That's gone. That's done for. And the final thing is, and I mentioned this yesterday, Kirk Cousins is believed to have all this power in this discussion because he has a no-trade clause. I don't think it's the bargaining chip that some of you think it is. Because the Falcons have said, and maybe it's still a bluff, maybe it's not, but the Falcons have said they're comfortable keeping Kirk Cousins as the backup. And so if Kirk wants to go somewhere and start, he will accept the trade. And it's not a situation where, well, that team's not good enough, they're not going to contend, and so I don't want to go there. All right, fine. Stay right here. Stay right here. We're perfectly comfortable. I just don't think he's going to veto every single trade opportunity with the exception of like two or three teams that he feels can contend. He has a little power. I don't think he has all the power in this discussion. Especially not if you take Terry Fontenot at his word that keeping Cousins as the backup is on the table. And so we'll see where it goes from there. Gianni is in Winder, wants to chat about Kirk Cousins as well. What's going on, Gianni?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
How you doing, man?
I just wanted to say I think we're looking at it wrong. There's a lot of positives to take from the season. We finished a game better than we were last year. But also, we got to look at it with the way they approached bringing in Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. They looked at it as a position group need. So if you look at it a certain way, we've addressed the quarterback position, and it's addressed for the next 4 years. Whether Kirk was doing this or doing that, he said whatever. We have a good starter, and we have probably what will be the best backup in the league for the next 4 years. Nothing really needs to be done there. He can throw a hissy fit or whatever, but he's here. He has a job to do. Now that job has pivoted. He went from showing Michael Penix the game, and from his perspective, now he's got to be a mentor. That's his job, and he needs to do it. We have a lot more other needs to focus on than the what-ifs and the hypotheticals of the quarterback position. The quarterback position has been addressed. Let's go address other things. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and you use the term hissy fit, and here's the thing. I think he threw it already. I think they ran it out there. I don't think he's going to do that again. I don't think he's going to come in and pout and publicly say, I don't want to be here. I don't think that's the kind of guy he is. I think his agent or representation got in his head and said, hey, if you really want a chance to be a starting quarterback again, here's what we have to do. You're not going to like it, but here's what we have to do. They did it. It hasn't worked. I don't think he's going to go back to that well. And again, why didn't he say it after he lost his job? And this is the whole thing that I said yesterday. He's going to do the job that he's being asked to do as a backup quarterback. He didn't say he was hurt or bothered while he was the starter because he didn't want to lose his job that way. I understand that. It may be a little bit selfish. It may be certainly cost the team, in my opinion, but I can understand it.
Yeah.
But once he loses his job, why not at that point say, by the way, I've been hurt? There's no benefit to him to hide it anymore. So why not say it there? And to me, it's because he didn't care to say it or need to say it. This was part of a plan devised by his representation to try and get the Falcons to drop him. They didn't fall for it. And again, that does not mean that they won't eventually release him. And I appreciate the call. But at this time, they tried to force their hand, and the Falcons didn't fall for it. And so, again, maybe they look at all the other factors, and they decide emotionally, financially, we have to do this. It ain't going to be because of how Kirk Cousins made the organization look this way or that way, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I don't care what Kirk Cousins says. This was a screw-up of Raheem Morris, not Kirk Cousins. And that's the ultimate disappointment for me. One more call this segment. We got Willie in Paulding County. What's up, Willie?
Hey, Bob. Hey, thanks for taking my call, man.
You got it.
Yeah, Cousins got to go. I just don't think he can be trusted going forward if he really was hurt. And it was selfish for him, you know, not to be honest up front. So now you're going to count on this guy to really be a mentor and try to help Penix. I just don't think it's a good idea. However much money they can get for cutting him, or get it and just move on, because it just, to me, it's just not a good look.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call. Again, and I said this a lot yesterday, I just don't think that's the kind of guy he is. Like I understand the frustration of he hid the injury and that was selfish, and I get that. But I still think at the end of the day, he's going to do his job. And look, he lost his job to Michael Penix last year in the same way that Marcus Mariota lost his job to Desmond Ridder. But look at what happened differently. Marcus Mariota somehow magically had a knee injury and left the team. Kirk Cousins, who had an actual injury that we now know about, stuck it out and helped the rookie quarterback. I have no reason to believe he wouldn't do it again for 16 or 17 games this year. 404-726-0929 if you want to get in. I got some other Kirk Cousins discussions coming your way. We also got to chat about the NBA All-Star Game. Plenty more to come and plenty of time to get to it. Matt McCall going to chat college basketball at the top of the 3 o'clock hour with us as well. We're coming right back. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here hanging out on a President's Day Monday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. President's Day today. Abe Gordon hanging out with you. Duke Simbell got the day off. Chris Thomas is going to be with you starting at 6. But I got you until then. And you guys are still caught up in it. Not me. I didn't fall into that trap. But you guys are still in it. And what I mean is this emotional tie that, and not that you have an emotional tie to Kirk Cousins, but to the discussion of Kirk Cousins. It still gets you agitated, still gets you hot and bothered. And I just find that interesting because, how far down the list does it rank in terms of significant offseason decisions the Falcons have? I mean, it's going to have less impact on your team, in my opinion, than the NFL draft, certainly than the first round pick. It's going to have less impact on the team, in my opinion, than the unrestricted and restricted free agents you decide to bring back. Less impact on the season than free agency. And I know there's a correlative impact in terms of, well, maybe you have more money and that can help. I get that. But whether Kirk is here or gone, I mean, the significance to the actual team and performance, it's not as big as we're making it out to be. But here we are, and people are yelling different things. He's got to go. That's fine. You feel that way? That's fine. We get keep them and bench them, punish them. Okay. Obviously, a trade would be ideal. That, to me, is kind of the best-case scenario, is you find a trade. And so we'll see how it ultimately plays out. But, man, oh, man, it's the topic that gets people going. And you guys are falling for it. You guys are falling exactly for what Kirk Cousins, and more specifically, in my opinion, his agent, his representation, wanted you to fall for. The idea that this team cannot possibly move forward with him. I don't think that's the case. And we'll see how it plays out. But it's not a problem to me if he is the backup here in Atlanta with Michael Penix as your starter. Let's continue the phone calls. And I had a bunch of different discussions. We're still going to talk about the NBA All-Star Game at some point. But you guys, it's funny because I work all day, and a little bit last night while watching the NBA All-Star Game, I work all day on this rundown. And I try and come up with interesting discussions and a variety of topics and all that stuff. And we just settle right back into the same saddle, don't we? That's all right. Some of these I'll use a different day. Maybe I'll give one or two of them to Andy and Randy that they can also ignore. We'll see how it goes. Brad is in Atlanta, line two. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, glad to talk to you, Abe. It's been a minute. So, listen, let me just start off with saying, take the win, man, and keep it going. Yes, fans are fanning, and you should want that because, yes, we are passionate. But two things can be true. I kind of say keep him, too, but it's for different reasons. But what gets me passionate is to hear you say you blame Raheem Morris. This is that BS. I'm going to tell you, man, just hear me out. I can't believe to hear people say that they blame Raheem Morris. Now, hindsight is 2020. We had those four-game stretch. But let me just say this and keep it real. Kirk Cousins has cost us draft picks coming and going with his big mouth, not to mention character and all these kinds of things, the things we talk about with other quarterbacks. Had Geno Smith, had Dak Prescott, had C.J. Stroud come in and said, hey, I'm hurt, I'm not hurt. And we know he lied. He lied because he was on the injury report, and there's these semantics between injury and hurt. He told them that he was hurt. Then he turned around and said, oh, that's a clerical error. So that's a lie right there. But imagine that the coach now, he just saw him throw 500 yards. He was offensive player of the week several times leading up. He's on point. And he's had this pretty good career. And all of a sudden, he kind of falls off. And everyone's saying, I blame Raheem Morris. It's interesting. You're going to go all the way around Kirk Cousins' diva actions and put it on Raheem Morris. That's that bullshit, to be honest with you, that we see.
Look, you're having two separate discussions here. I'm not okaying how Kirk Cousins handled things. But at the same time, you're the head coach, and you watch film every week, and you can see there's a level that he's at, and then there's a level that he's no longer at. You got to make the call, man. You got to make the call. And so, yes, I do blame Raheem Morris, because he waited too long to make the call. And when I look at a variety of different things, and by the way, my frustration with Raheem Morris is partially due to the Kirk Cousins decision. It's not only due to the Kirk Cousins decision. And I still am in favor of Raheem. I'm not sitting here calling for his job, not even close. I think he had a rough first year. You don't want to have a rough first year. But when I look at it, and look, not every good head coach is going to have a positive impact on their team, but at least neutral. And in my opinion, Raheem Morris was a net negative in year one with the Falcons. Doesn't mean he won't succeed next year. Doesn't mean he didn't learn. But Raheem Morris okayed a game plan in week one that left you uncompetitive. Raheem Morris, in my opinion, bungled the timing and decision of when to take out Kirk Cousins. There were mistakes made with clock management that potentially cost you games. Raheem Morris, alongside Terry Fontenot, approved a field goal kicker that couldn't kick a 53-yarder. These are decisions that work against the team. And so Kirk Cousins is partially to blame for his side of things, but Raheem Morris has got to make the tough call, and in my opinion, he didn't. We continue on the phones. Where are we? Line three, Tony in Stone Mountain. What's up, Tony?
Yo, what's up, hey, man? Good discussion. So I heard you say that Kirk Cousins wanted He kept playing because he wanted to mentor. He stuck around because he wanted to mentor Penix.
I don't think he wanted to, but I think he was tasked with that and did the job that he was asked to do. I don't think – well, certainly don't think he wanted to do that.
Well, he didn't – he never – the problem was he never let the team know he was injured. You know, if he would have done that, he could have did Michael Penix better by mentoring him then, because those five games that he lost, you know, he could have told the team the truth.
And Raheem, his problem was he wanted to be a good NFL guy and stick with the vet. But the vet was manipulating him the whole time. That was the problem. Now, I totally agree with you with the decisions he made throughout the year, especially, you know, with Koo. You know, Koo missed a lot of field goals. That set us back. We lost probably 2-3 games because of Koo. But I think Kirk Cousins, what kind of guy he would be in the locker room now? How would the locker room, how would the rest of the team view Kirk Cousins if he did come back?
Yeah, and here's what I'll say to that, Tony, and I'll let you continue. And maybe this is a controversial opinion, and maybe I'm way off on this. I don't think players are going to blame him for not admitting an injury that's going to cost him his job. Like I know that sounds backwards. It's certainly selfish. I agree with that. I think there's a lot of players who would be selfish. And so I don't know if he's going to get the hatred or looked down upon, because I think a lot of players might act the same way if they were in the same position. Continue.
I remember when Freddie Freeman his elbow was messed up when he was playing with the Braves. 1 year, I forgot it. But Freeman was in the game, but it was hurting the team more than it was helping. He finally got out of the lineup, and it helped the Braves a lot. Kirk Cousins would have did the same thing if he told the team he was injured. It would have helped Michael Penix. It would have helped the team. And then it would have allowed the team to give him more trust. He could have did himself a favor with the rest of the league, because now the rest of the league look at this guy as a con artist. He's a manipulator. He's not who he really say he is. You know, he's a crackhead if you ask me.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I don't know about that last suggestion, but I just don't think that's how he's being viewed. Like I know we want to be all mad and upset about how he acted. It is selfish. I'm not going to argue it's not selfish. I think there's a lot of guys who are doing the same thing, though, in the exact same situation. And I just don't think that we're in a situation here where he, quote, can't walk back into the locker room. I just don't find that to be true. I don't. And so for me, if they make the decision to keep him, I'm totally comfortable with that. Now, again, priority number one, in my opinion, would be finding a trade that he would accept. I think that's the best of both worlds. But between cutting him and keeping him, if you want to cut him, cut him. That's fine, too. I don't think you're cutting him just because you don't think he can walk back into that locker room. There's plenty of other discussions and reasons to do so. But I don't think it's because of the emotions of, well, this is what he said, and he was selfish and this and that. No, I think that time has come and gone. I think now you're looking at it level-headed and trying to decide what's best for the team. And if ultimately you settle on what's best for the team is still parting ways with him, I'll be perfectly fine with that. But if what's best for the team is keeping him and asking him to help out as much as possible with Michael Penix, and by the way, there's always potential someone goes down early in the season and someone comes calling for him then. I'm okay with that. I really am. One final call this segment. We got Matt McCall to chat college basketball coming up with us in about 8 minutes. We got Adam in Watkinsville. What's up, Adam?
What's up, babe?
What's going on, dude? What you thinking?
Man, I agree with the last caller, kind of contrary to what you're saying. But I listen every day, and then Randy and you. But if that dude lied about being injured and, like, held that team back from being in the playoffs and losing 2 or 3 more games than what they should have, I mean, I don't know how they're going to look at him, you know. But anyhow, what do you think? I mean, that guy has got to be the biggest dork in the NFL, you know? What do you think about that?
Yeah, thanks for listening, Adam. Appreciate the call. And again, I just think guys are going to be a lot more understanding than fans are. I just think a lot of them in a similar situation have probably hidden injuries to stay on the field. And so I think there's going to be a lot more understanding. Again, I could be wrong. And maybe I'll, you know, Randy talked about this the other day, that it's not about hiding the injury. It's about performing with the injury. Randy said he hit an injury but that he played well enough that it was worth it. And I'm paraphrasing. The problem isn't that he hid the injury. It was that he was so atrocious while injured that you can't write it off. And that, in my opinion, is where Raheem Morris has to step in and didn't until it was too late. I think the players are going to be a lot more understanding than the fans are of he hid the injury and he was selfish and all that. I think it happens a lot. And we can cut out the nonsense about the injury report. Guys, it's a participation report. You don't have to report injuries. All you have to do is report if you did or did not miss a portion of practice. That's why he didn't show back up again. Now, he probably performed poorly in practice, but he performed. And so there you go. All right, we're going to switch gears for a couple moments. Matt McCall, college basketball analyst for NBC Sports, The Field of 68, and Sirius XM is going to join us. Get you caught up on what's going on in the world of college basketball as we head towards March Madness. It's Abe Gordon here, coming right back in five on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.